ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet, and the Dasara celebrations are on in this beautiful setting of Prashantinilam, the panacea for all the perils of the world. The festive atmosphere in this period in Prashantinilam is to be seen, to be experienced. The air is so energized with the divine chants. The evenings are supercharged with the beautiful talks and devotional renderings. In fact, last evening, October 17, 2018, we had a lovely presentation by the Prashantinilam dance group, and they beautifully depicted the life of Shirdi Sai, and the session ended with the sublime singing of the Shirdi Sai Aarati. Wow, it was so surreal. For the first time ever, the Shirdi Sai Aarti was sung in Prashantinilam, and it felt so elevating, so heartening, so humbling. And this year, 2018, is so historic as far as the Shirdi Shrine is concerned, because it is the centenary year of Baba leaving his physical form. It was on Vijayadashmi Day in 1918 that Shirdi Sai left his mortal coil, and this year, 2018, is the 100th year of Shirdi Sai's Mahasamadhi, 100 years of the glory of Shirdi Sai. And to make this occasion special, to make our offering to this Lord on this landmark occasion, we thought we have to offer something that we have not done before, something to bring out the glory of both the sides, something to share the mystery of Satya Sai and Shirdi Sai. And for this reason, we, a few of us from Radio Sai, traveled to Gindi, the Sai Baba temple at Gindi. So why the temple at Gindi in Chennai? Because it is the place where the first statue of Shirdi Sai was ever established. In fact, Bhagwan installed the Shirdi Sai statue here in February 1949, which is 5 years before it was done at Shirdi, which happened in 1954. Not only this, when the foundation stone was laid for this temple in 1946 by Bhagwan himself, Swami said, "This place is my first temple. This is my first spiritual center." It was called the Shri Sakti Sai Mandali, you know, as the new bhajan centers are called bhajan mandali. So this is how Bhagwan in fact printed an invitation card also, and he called it Shri Satya Sai Mandali. And another very important reason why this shrine at Gindi in Chennai is significant is on the silver jubilee of the shrine in February 1973, Swami unveiled here a stupa, and this is the first ever stupa unfurled by Bhagwan. The Sarvadharma stupa that you see in Prashantinilam came 2 years later in 1975. And these are not the only reasons why the shrine in Gindi is so significant. There are more reasons why this temple is so powerful and so immensely beneficial for us on the spiritual path. This is a shrine which inextricably connects both the sides, the glory of both the sides, and that is what we will dwell on today in this episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. We are soaking in the bliss of Dasara. Let's drench ourselves in the love of Shirdi Sai and suffuse ourselves in the sweetness of Satya Sai.
Shirdi Sai Shankara, Pati Vihari Shankara. Shirdi Sai Shankara,
So the story of the Sai Baba temple at Guindy goes back to 1943. It was the month of September 1943. It was a Friday. The Dasara celebrations had just started, Dasara Navratri. It was 10 o'clock in the morning and there was this devout gentleman, Loknath Mudaliar. He had his house in Triplicane in Chennai. And even as everyone in Chennai was in a celebratory mood because it was Dasara, in the house of Loknath Mudaliar, it was trauma. Because for some unknown reason, Loknath Mudaliar suddenly had turned mad. He had turned violent. He was uttering something absolutely unintelligible. He was someone who had lost his memory, lost his mind, lost his senses, and he was the head of the house, very respected individual, and no one in the house had any clue what had happened to him. Why has he suddenly gone so crazy? So they called the family doctor, one Mrs. John, and she said that, no, you have to take him to a mental hospital. So they went to Dr. Dhairyam, who was the superintendent of the mental hospital in Chennai. So he examined him and he gave some tablets and he said, I don't know what to do. He gave some injections so that he'll at least sleep, but nothing worked. And the family was in this grip of shock and grief. The neighbors and well-wishers came. Everyone had clueless about what had happened suddenly to Loknath Mudaliar, and he was upstairs and he was beating his legs and he was uttering something which no one understood. Suddenly he would say, Rajgopalachari will become the first Governor General of India. Subhash Chandra Bose is in Singapore. So he was uttering things which people, no one had any clue from where all this was coming. He stopped taking food and no one could even force to put even a little liquid into his mouth. That is how the Friday went. Saturday also was equally terrible. And then suddenly happened on Saturday night. In the midnight of Saturday, 2:30 a.m. past midnight, suddenly Loknath Mudaliar called his family members and he said, "Where is that man? Where is that beautiful person? Where is that young Swamiji? He was in that chilly red robe. He had this curly hair. He had such beautiful, he was so charming. We were so full of grace. He came to our puja room. I just saw him. He took that vessel from our puja room and he took that sacred water, tulsi water, and he gave it to me and he said, 'Sip this water 3 times. And when I did that, suddenly I got cured. My illness has vanished. Where is this person? Where is this Baba?' He started shouting and asking for him. And everyone in the family got up, shocked to hear what had happened. But they were so happy because they had got back their father. The wife was happy, her husband was back, the daughter knew, no, her joy knew no bounds. Something, all their prayers to all the God that they had done had borne fruit. Something has happened. Their father was back and they had no clue who is that Swamiji, who the father was referring to, but they were just grateful, grateful to the divine, grateful to Almighty, grateful to every deity that they had ever prayed in their life. And even though he was back, he was still weak, Loknath Mudaliar, but he now took some food. He started speaking normally and the next morning, suddenly at 11:30 a.m., they found someone just walk into the house as if he knows every place of the house. He went straight to Loknath Mudaliar. And the moment Loknath Mudaliar saw, he got up from the bed. "Oh, yes, God has come, God has come. He is the one who cured me, he is the one who cured me." Swami had suddenly physically entered their home the next day morning, 11:30. And Swami said, "It was I who came last night and gave you tulsi water. You are now cured. I have now come to assure you that you will never again be affected by black magic." And it was the first time the family was hearing the word black magic. They had no idea what had happened. And now Loknath Mudaliar was just trying to get up. He was not able to get up because when he was sick and when he was beating his legs, he had broken the joint. One of the joints in his right knee had just come off. So he was not able to stand. There was a fracture. And Swami just took his big toe, pulled his big toe, and his joint just got fixed. And then he got up and he fell at Bhagwan's feet, tears profusely streaming down his eyes. And Swami lifted him and Swami waved his divine palms and manifested a talisman with a string and he tied it around his father's neck and he said, "Nothing ever will happen to you again. Don't worry about all these dark energies." And again Swami waved his palm and he manifested a lemon, a lime fruit, and he kept it under Loknath Mudaliar's pillow. And then the entire family did namaskar. And Swami then created vibhuti and called the family aside, called his wife. And Swami said, "There is a black magician who had done all this to your father. He wanted to kill him. He wanted to first drive him mad and then kill him. What had happened is there was this plot of land near Gindi which was owned by Loknath Mudaliar and this person wanted to occupy that land. He had encroached on that territory and when Loknath Mudaliar tried to remove him, he did not listen and he tried so many persuasive ways of trying to tell him nicely to move from that land because he had illegally occupied it, but that person did not care. And finally Loknath Mudaliar had to go to the court and he had got an injunction from the court to evict him. And when that happened, this black magician said, "Tomorrow you will go mad." And that is what had happened. And Swami said, "Now go to that plot of land and go to this particular spot. dig that area, there are dead bodies of goat and chicken there, and there are broken pieces of pottery. Remove all that. It is all his witchcraft. Remove all that and put this vibhuti there. And then Swami said, you come to Puttaparthi. But Swami was still in Chennai, and this Loknath Mudaliar family, they now did not want to miss one moment of being with Swami. Swami had actually come to Chennai on that day when Swami stepped into their home. Swami was going from Igmore to Triplicane, and he was going for lunch to a devotee's place, and that devotee, interestingly, happened to be C.P. Lalita Bai, who was an aunt of Leela Mudaliar, who is the daughter of Loknath Mudaliar. And Bhagwan was in that home. In fact, when Bhagwan was driving to her aunt's place for food, Swami suddenly told the driver that he wanted to see an ailing devotee, and that is how Swami had come to the house of Loknath Mudaliar. And as soon as Swami left the residence of Mudaliar, all the family members, they were so much soaked in gratitude for Bhagwan. They started talking about the miracle that they had just witnessed. And now, you know, none of them wanted to even take food. They were so full of joy, so full of bliss that they had seen Swami. They wanted to only have more and more of Swami. So in the evening, they went for Bhagwan's darshan to Igmore, where Swami was staying in a devotee's house in Veera Swami Pillai Street. And Swami was just 17 years old then. He was wearing that yellow robe and yellow dhoti. And this family was so suffused, so much. Now the whole family was mad. Mudalokana Mudaliar had gone mad because of dark energy, but here divine energy had got this entire family mad. Swami used to, in those days, Swami used to apply vibhuti and kumkum on the foreheads of people who come to him. The Swami applied this vibhuti when these family members went to the house in Veera Swami Pillai Street where Bhagwan was. Bhajans went on there till 6 p.m. and Swami was leading the bhajans and everyone was following. Then Swami himself used to perform aarti in those days, and before aarti, Swami used to take two coconuts and hit one with the other, and that is how Swami used to distribute that water and this coconut pieces as prasadam. So this family was blessed to receive all that from Bhagwan's hand, and they were just in that bliss of being with Swami. They felt like they are gopis and gopalas of Vrindavan. That is how charged they were. So satisfied that they had found the Lord of their heart. Nothing else attracted them. They were just so soaked in Sai consciousness. And they only wanted to hear more and more of Bhagwan's sweet voice. They had heard him sing. They wanted just to listen more to him. And now they were only counting days and minutes when they can go back to Bhagwan again. And Swami blessed them by saying, you come to Puttaparthi. And so that is how immediately Loknath Mudaliar went to the post office the very next day, and he found out the route how to go to Puttaparthi. In those days, you had to come via Penukonda and Bukkapatnam. They had to travel by train from Chennai to Bangalore, and then from Bangalore to Penukonda. From the Penukonda railway station, one had to travel 18 miles by bus to Bukkapatnam, and from Bukkapatnam by bullock cart, you have to cross the village. And if Chitravati is in spate, then you have to cross the waters of Chitravati. So that is how they started their journey to Prashantinilayam. And when they were reaching Prashantinilayam, when Loknath Mudaliar was just about to enter Prashantinilayam, it was rainy season, and Chitravati, as I just mentioned, was in floods. And when he was coming, suddenly his foot got stuck in the sands and he fell. In the sands, and Swami, who was there in the Path Mandir, in the old Mandir, Swami suddenly ran out of the Mandir, and Swami picked him, lifted him from the sands, and again pulled his toe and, you know, erected him. And that is how, in fact, even as Bhagwan was eating, Swami was saying, keep some food left, keep some food. Loknath Mudaliar is coming, Loknathan is coming, keep some food for him. So that is how Bhagwan welcomed Loknath Mudaliar, and Loknath Mudaliar stayed for days in Prashantinilayam, basking in the bliss of Bhagwan. And once he returned to Chennai, now he was so full of gratitude that he wanted to do something for Swami. He wanted to express his gratitude. He wanted to offer himself to Bhagwan in some way. And since Bhagwan was visiting Madras often in those days, he thought, why not build a residence for Swami? So that whenever Swami comes to Madras, he can stay in this place. And he wanted to build that in that plot of land which Bhagwan had rescued, that Lord who had given him his life. And so now, once he got this idea, he went to Bhagwan and he prayed if he can build a bungalow or a residence for Swami at Guindy. And Swami blessed the idea. Swami said, okay, go ahead, make your plans. And once he returned to Chennai, suddenly a letter comes from Swami. And Swami says, you need not build a residence for me. Instead, build a temple for my former body. I shall myself consecrate the first idol of my former incarnation at Guindy. So far there is no sculpture image set up for me, even at Shirdi. Make due preparations. I am with you. Start the work without delay. This was the message that Swami sent. Start building a temple for my former incarnation, for the Shirdi Sai Avatar. And as I mentioned, there was no statue of Shirdi Sai even at Shirdi, because there were Muslim devotees of Shirdi Sai. We know how Bhagwan brought in that unity of Hindu and Muslim there. And since Muslims do not worship idols, so there was always this confusion. And until that time, there was no statue of Shirdi Sai at Shirdi. And only later on it happened. So on 10th July 1946, Swami came to Guindy and himself laid the foundation of the Sri Satya Sai Mandir. And before placing the slab, Swami materialized Sri Chakra. Swami materialized Kumkum, Turmeric, Vibhuti, and he placed them in the pit, and then he fixed the foundation stone. At that time, it was just a vast expanse of land. There was not that industrial estate or the present buildings, what you find today. I mean, the whole place is a concrete jungle now. At that time, it was outskirts, completely outskirts of Chennai. But Swami declared, this place is going to become very sacred. Very soon, this place is going to acquire prabalyam, is going to acquire a lot of divine energy. This is my first mandir. This is my first spiritual center. This is what Bhagwan declared when he did the foundation stone of the temple at Guindy. And after the foundation stone was laid and, you know, the construction had started, suddenly a snake pit started growing very fast towards the southern part of the shrine. And it was almost a tiny mound. And Loknath Mudaliar thought it would be a nuisance and, you know, it might cause trouble to devotees. So he started destroying that snake mound. But something very mysterious happened. People working there started getting eye problems. And then a devotee came and told Loknath Mudaliar not to destroy it. The station master of Guindy at that point in time was a devotee of Shirdi Sai. Shirdi Sai came in the dream of the station master and told him, you go and meet Loknath Mudaliar, this person who is constructing this temple, and tell him not to destroy that snake pit, because I am residing there as Nagasai. So Sai resides as a Nagasai in this temple at Guindy. This is one of the shrines in that temple complex at Guindy. And the moment Loknath Mudaliar got this message, he created a platform there. And even now devotees offer milk to that shrine, and people who have eye problems and people who seek progeny, they offer worship at this Nagasai shrine at the Sai Baba temple of Guindy. So this is what happened immediately after the foundation stone was laid. And that was the time of the Second World War. We are talking about 1946. And the temple was built. It was, construction was happening, but with a lot of difficulty. But the problem Loknath Mudaliar had was how to get a statue of Shirdi Sai done, because he had never seen Shirdi Sai. He didn't know where to get an idol of Shirdi Sai. He had no reference who will make that idol of Shirdi. No one knew about Shirdi Sai at that point in time in Chennai. So he came to Parthi again and Swami said, You just be there and continue the construction. It's like that electrician who's doing the wiring of the building. At the right time, I will supply power and everything will come alive. This was the direct instruction of Swami to Loknath Mudaliar. And Swami gave him a clay model of Shirdi Baba. And so Loknath Mudaliar came back with that clay model, still clueless about how to construct the statue of Shirdi Sai. And a few days passed and suddenly an old sculptor appears at the site. And he says that when Muslim saint appeared in my dream, and he ordered me to go to the spot near Gindi railway station, and he said there is a temple being constructed there and there is work for me in that spot. And he said, that is the reason I am here. Is there anything for me? And immediately Loknath Mudaliar told him that he is the one chosen to do the statues of Shirdi Sai, and he gave him that clay model and they selected a proper granite and he started chiseling two statues, one of Lord Ganesha and the other of Shirdi Sai. In fact, if you look at this statue of Shirdi Sai, the side view of the idol looks like the form of Satya Sai. And it was a very beautiful idol, smiling Shirdi Sai, radiating joy and peace. And once this sculptor completed his work, he said, I will come back and take my remuneration. But he never turned up. So that is how mysteriously the statue of Shirdi Sai, it's almost like Shirdi Sai himself came to recreate himself so that he is available for people to see and devotees can bask in the bliss of seeing him, worshipping him and pouring out their heart to him. In fact, if you look at the story of how the Shirdi Sai statue came in Shirdi, that is also a very mysterious story, isn't it? It's a similar enigmatic tale, because we know how a high quality Italian marble arrived at the Mumbai dock and no one claimed that marble, and therefore it was auctioned. Then a buyer bought it and donated it to the Shirdi Sai Sansthan, and then the temple authorities commissioned the task of carving Baba's statue. And they gave it to a sculptor by name Balaji Vasant Talim. And now this sculptor, he had no reference. The only reference he had was one black and white picture of Baba. And that was very vague. And he continuously was praying to Swami saying, if only Baba, you give me a darshan, then only I will be able to create a statue which will be worthy of you. And which when devotees see, they'll be able to pour their devotion. So please guide me. So he used to pray to the Lord, and they say that Shirdi Baba came in his dream. Another version is one day when he was working, he saw this light and Baba showed himself to him from various angles and told him to remember it. And that is how he created this statue, which was formally installed in Shirdi on 7th October 1954. 36 years after Baba's Mahasamadhi. In fact, in 1954, while working with his workers at the finishing stages of sculpting this marble statue of Baba, Balaji Talim found an air pocket, and that was below the left knee of Baba's statue, and this had to be removed. But it seemed very dangerous, because when you're removing an air pocket from a finished statue, there is always every risk of that entire portion coming down. And if anything of that nature happens, then, you know, the statue becomes khandita or it becomes broken. It is not fit to be worshipped. And Balaji Talim didn't know what to do. Should he remove that air pocket? But he was all the time afraid that the statue might get destroyed. All the labor, all the time, everything would just go waste. And so he prayed to Swami and, please have mercy on me. The statue, your murti is ready. Please guide me. And then he heard this voice said, go on, Balaji, go on. Carry on, carry on. So that is when Balaji instructed his workers to carry on and chisel out that additional portion. But the workers refused to do so, fearing that, you know, the entire knee portion of Baba's statue would just drop out. But he said, no, Baba has blessed. Please, please, let's do it. And that is how, when they took the chisel and hammer and praying Baba's name, Baba, help me, help me. They gave a small stroke. And very smoothly, very seamlessly, that additional portion of the marble came out without affecting anything of the main statue. Tears rolled down his eyes and he prostrated before Bhagwan. He knew that it was Baba himself who had recreated his being. It was a miracle of Baba, so that people can connect to Sai. That 5 feet 5 inches statue of Shirdi Baba was then taken throughout the village in pomp and glory and ceremony, and whenever devotees who had physically seen Baba saw the idol, they said, oh my God, this is like Swami coming again, this is like Baba is with us again. That is how the Shirdi statue came. And if you look at the story of Gindi, it is the same. Baba himself came and created that statue, and Swami then on 1st February 1949 flew from Hyderabad, and he came with his host of devotees, Sakama from Bangalore, Chincholi Rani of Hyderabad. And Swami on 3rd February 1949 did the registration of the trust deed of the Sri Satya Sai Mandali, and then drove to the Mandir site at Gindi. The idols were taken in procession, and first Swami installed Lord Ganesha at the Ganesha Mandir, and then Swami called all the members of the Loknath Mudaliar family, including Lalita Bai, their aunt, and Swami called them into the Sanctum Sanctorum. He first manifested a silver idol of Lord Ganesha and he kept it inside that pit. Then Swami manifested Navaratnas, the 9 gems, and placed it inside. He took out golden flowers, golden tumi flowers, and he did Abhishekam, Archana, with that, those golden flowers. And then Swami created a Sri Chakram, and he placed that Ganesha idol and the Sri Chakram, and then did the Astabandhanam. The Astabandhanam is establishing that idol of Shirdi Sai there with his divine hands. And after Bhagwan had done that, he decorated the idol with flower garland and he himself did Aarti. And then once he came down the shrine, Swami said now to all the devotees that, now look at the shrine. I am going to infuse power into it. And as everyone had their eyes concentrated on the shrine, Swami said, look, and the statue levitated. The statue went up in the air for some time and then slowly it settled down. That is how Swami energized this Shirdi Sai shrine at Gindi. The people who have witnessed this even now recall with a thrill going down their spine about that momentous morning. On that day, Swami came again in the evening and he was there for the bhajans. There were B.V. Raman and B.V. Lakshman and 2 masters in Carnatic music. Swami had them sing and Swami himself sang along with them Tyagaraja Kirtanas. And both his brothers, who are first time listening to Swami, they were thrilled to listen to Bhagwan. So this is a shrine which Bhagwan himself consecrated, himself did the puja, himself did the aarti, himself did the bhajan. And not only that, once in every 8 to 10 years, Swami used to perform Astabandhanam, or infusing power into this idol again. So he has done that every 8 to 10 years. And also he has created Sri Chakram, Navaratnas. And the last Astabandhanam Swami did was in January 1984, when Swami materialized a Sudarshana Chakra. That is the hallowed glory of the Sai Baba temple at Gindi in 1949. Swami setting this up, in a way, to me, it was the start of the glory of the Shirdi Avatar. Shirdi Baba had left, but the Shirdi Mahima had to now spread the entire world. And Bhagwan initiated this with the statue of Shirdi here. And later on, you have the statue coming up there. We know how Swami, in fact, was the person behind the making of the movie, the first Marathi movie on Shirdi Sai. That also happened in the 50s, and Swami was the one who initiated the whole process. So here you have when Bhagwan, who came down as Shiva, as Shirdi Sai, now he was in Shiva Shakti as Satya Sai, and here he was bringing back the glory of Shirdi Sai so that people connect to the two Sais. Shirdi is nothing but Satya Sai, What is Satya Sai? Satya Sai is the reincarnation of Shirdi Sai. In fact, if you take the word Shirdi also, Shirdi also means snakehills. And it is the same with Puttaparthi. Puttaparthi used to be called Puttavardhini. It is again here. It means snakehills. You have the same meaning of Shirdi and Puttaparthi mean the same. It is the same Sai. And you have the Gindi temple, which inextricably connects the two sides, and Swami established this in 1949. That is the most powerful story of the Gindi temple, and we have in fact done a video. It will be there on our website very soon. You will find it by this evening today. The hallowed glory of the temple at Gindi, that is the connect between Shirdi Sai and Satya Sai, and our connect to the glory of the Satya Sai avatar.
Shirdi Nivasa Sai Shankara.
Another very significant thing about the shrine in Gindi is the story of the divine footprints. Now, during those years, 1943 to 53, almost every devotee used to have this privilege to wash the divine lotus feet of Bhagwan with rose water, and they would take that rose water and they would preserve it, and they used to use it as charanamrit, as the prasadam, and partaking that used to cure people of many diseases. And this was one opportunity that Bhagwan gave to devotees in that era. People also used to do Pada Puja, elaborate Pada Puja, where they used to apply turmeric and chandan and oil, and then take footprints of Bhagwan on the cloth, and they used to frame it and keep it in their puja room. In fact, Leelamma, the daughter of Loknath Mudaliar, narrates in the book Loknath Sai how on one occasion when they asked Bhagwan for the footprints, they saw that one foot was large and another was small, and Swami said, "I have given you the footprints of Shiva Shakti." So the Mudaliars, once the consecration of the shrine happened, they too wished if they could get footprints of Bhagwan for them to cherish and for them to treasure and worship. So after the consecration happened on the morning of 3rd February 1949, Bhagwan came to the residence of Loknath Mudaliar, and even as he was, when he was talking to them, suddenly Swami went into a trance. And people in those times were familiar with Bhagwan suddenly leaving his body and returning, you don't know after how much time. Because sometimes they have seen Swami would be just talking or singing bhajans, or Swami would be even eating, and suddenly he would just fall like a log of wood, and there would be no consciousness in him, and he would have gone off far, far away to rescue some devotee in danger. Sometimes this trance would extend from 10 minutes to a few hours. Sometimes the duration would be more than an hour. And sometimes they would hear Swami talking to someone in some different language during the trance. And when Bhagwan would return, then Swami would tell them how he saved a particular devotee from an accident or from illness or from death. And or he would say how he had gone to Shirdi. In fact, during one of these occasions when Bhagwan had gone to trance and Loknath Mudla and family were there, Swami said that he had gone to give darshan to Abdul Baba. Abdul Baba was a close disciple of Shirdi Sai, and it was the time for him to merge at his lotus feet. Swami said he had gone to give him darshan. And in fact, next day they read report in newspapers about Abdul Baba entering Samadhi. There was another occasion when Bhagwan left the old mandir and Swami went to Kunnur for 3 days. And Loknath Mudaliar had a severe attack of malaria and he was shivering. So when the Mudaliar family got the message that Swami was returning by car, so they went to Karnataka Nagapalli to receive the Lord, you know, before Karnataka Nagapalli, just 2 kilometers from Puttaparthi. And when they saw Bhagwan there, Swami asked them, why has your father not come? Why has Loknath Mudaliar not come? And they said, Swami, he is suffering from a severe attack of malaria. But once they returned to the mandir, they saw that father was hale and hearty. He was normal. And when they asked him what had happened, how did he suddenly recover? And his father said, no, Swami came here. He was in white clothes. When you went away, Swami himself came here and he applied vibhuti and he suddenly cured me just in an instant. That is how I got completely cured. So people have seen these experiences, Swami appearing in 2 places, Swami leaving his body and coming after a while. So that is what happened that morning also to the Mudaliar. Swami suddenly left the body, and when Bhagwan returned, Swami asked them to spread a cloth under his feet. And then Swami said, why my feet? Today I have installed here my former body, the former incarnation. I shall give you the feet of Shirdi Sai. And then Bhagwan stood on that silk cloth, and when Bhagwan stepped aside, the impression that was there on that silk cloth was not the slender, soft, rather teenage feet of Swami. It was the heavy, ponderous feet of Shirdi Sai. It was almost double the size of Bhagwan's feet, and Swami himself smeared chandan on it, and Swami said, keep it in the shrine. This is the footprint of my previous avatar. In fact, when you look at it, it perfectly tallies with the one displayed at Shirdi. Swami ordered that it should be hung in the shrine at the Gindi temple. It is even now, if you go to the Gindi temple at Chennai, you can see this footprint of Shirdi Sai gifted by Satya Sai on the wall behind the Sanctum Sanctorum, behind the idol of Shirdi Sai in this temple. Another interesting thing that happened is one Dr. Nityanandan from Triplicane, he wanted a photograph of this footprint of Bhagwan along with the silver padukas which Swami used to wear whenever he visited Gindi Mandir. So he took this framed picture of Shirdi Sai's divine feet and he kept it next to the silver padukas of Bhagwan. So this, you have the footprint of Shirdi Sai, next to it he had the silver padukas of Satya Sai, and he took a picture of both. We wanted both the feet in one frame. And when he developed that picture, he saw to his utter amazement that there were foot impressions of Bhagwan on the silver padukas. It is as if Swami just wore the silver padukas. So you have the as authentic as it can be, the footprints of Shirdi Sai and Satya Sai in this shrine. And Leela Mudaliar says, Bhagwan on that occasion said, you can find the footprints of God wherever there is beauty and virtue, wherever there is humility and justice, wherever there is truth, love and peace. You can hear the footsteps of God only when there is silence in your mind. This is the message that Bhagwan gave. Pratha Smarami, Shri Guru Charanam, Saisha Charanam, Shri Guru Charanam, Brahmananda Pradayaka Charanam, Charanam Charanam, Saisha Charanam. We can hear the footprints of the Divine in our heart once we cultivate silence within, once we see the beauty of the Lord within and without, once we are in love with the Lord within and without. That is a message that Swami gave, and when you go to the Gindi temple, you can actually see this beautiful manifestation of Bhagwan. Another lovely thing to witness at the Gindi temple is the stupa there. On the occasion of the Silver Jubilee of the Mandir, which was performed on 3rd February 1973 by Bhagwan, Leela Mudaliar thought that we have to make the occasion special. So she went to Prashanthi Nilayam to ask Bhagwan what can be done to mark that special occasion. So when she was with Bhagwan and when she prostrated at his lotus feet, suddenly the vision of a stupa flashed in her mind. And immediately she asked Swami if she can build a stupa to mark that occasion. And Swami immediately graciously consented for it, and even indicated the spot where the stupa should come up. Swami said it should be near the Nagasai Mandir. And once she returned to Chennai, out of nowhere, one gentleman by name Sethuraman, he comes straight from the airport and he says, Swami has directed me to help you with the construction of the stupa. So he brought a group of engineers and soon they were at the job, and this 32 feet stupa was constructed in a record time of less than 15 days by the will of Bhagwan, by the divine will. And this structure is in the form of a lamp. At the crown is the lotus flower, the blossoming of the lotus flower, the petals of the lotus flower signify the blossoming of spiritual wisdom. At the center of this, you have the light. And at the base of the stupa, you have four sides. Each side is presided by a deity. And below these deities, you have eternal messages of Bhagwan inscribed on white marble slabs. In fact, this stupa that you see is the stupa which has become a part of the emblem of the Sri Sathya Sai Seva Organizations and the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. This is the beginning of the insignia of Sri Sathya Sai Institutions. And you, on the first face of the lower part of the stupa, you have the image of Lord Ganesha. Lord Ganesha establishing the divine power in that place. And it's written there, Satyam is my prachar, as Swami says, you know, truth is my message. On the second face, you have the image of Lord Subramanya, and behind him is the peacock, and he has that veil in his hand. Lord Subramanya or Muruga symbolizes spiritual courage, and the veil in his hand is that ego under control, and the peacock in various shades of color represents the pluralistic world which is under the control of the Lord. And the divine guru, Lord Subramanya, is the one filling us with spiritual courage to realize the divine within and to kill, demolish the monstrous and evil tendencies in us. So that is the significance of Lord Subramanya. On the third face of the stupa, you have Lord Dakshinamurti, which is the facet of Lord Shiva imparting knowledge to us through silence. So here you have Dakshinamurti infusing the place with supreme peace and silence. And then you have on the fourth face Lord Venugopala. Lord Venugopala represents Prema. He is the Prema Leela Avatara, and here it is written, Prema is my Sarupa. And when we follow the path of truth in thought, word and deed and practice dharma, what is written there? Dharma is my achar. And you maintain peace, which is signified by Dakshinamurti. That is when you experience the love of the Lord. And below the statue of Lord Ganesha, you have Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram inscribed so beautifully. Follow the path of knowledge with the direction and steadfastness of Satyam. Follow the path of devotion with the exhilaration of joy of Shivam. Follow the path of action with the harmony of charm of Sundaram. This is Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, Shirdi Sai, Satya Sai, Prema Sai. This is the glory of Sai in the temple at Guindy. In fact, as I mentioned, this is the first stupa. You also have the message of the unity of faiths in the stupa. Discard the I feeling and let your ego die on the cross. Offer the bitterness in the sacred fire and emerge godly, the symbol of Zoroastrianism. Be like the star and never waver from the divine crescent. Be fixed in steady faith, the symbol of Islam. Remember the wheel of cause and effect, and of deed and destiny, and the wheel of dharma that corrects them all, the symbol of Buddhism. And in the center you have Om, the primeval pranava. Listen to that pranava resounding in your heart as well as in the heart of the universe. And Swami, when he installed this stupa, Swami said, such stupas will soon be erected in my Mahima Sthalas, in places sanctified by my glory. And that is how the Sarvadharma Ekya Stupa was erected in Prashantinilayam on November 23, 1975, on the occasion of Bhagwan's 50th birthday. It was a 50-foot statue. So this is another very, very glorious aspect of the Sai Baba temple at Guindy. You also have the Navagraha Sthala there. The Navagrahas were installed by Bhagwan on 25th January 1985. Loknath Mudaliar had once made a granite idol of Saneeshwara, goddess, god Shani, and he showed it to Bhagwan. But even before Bhagwan could install this, Loknath Mudaliar merged at his feet, and then Swami told his daughter Leela Mudaliar to make rest of the eight grahas, the rest of the eight deities which are part of the Navagrahas. And once she completed that, Swami said he will himself do the prana pratistha. He will himself install the Navagrahas. And on 25th January 1985, Swami came for the occasion and he materialized Navagraha Chakra with the figures of all the nine deities, and he created Navaratnas and he kept it in the pit of Lord Surya and then installed the sun god. Lord Surya is the principal deity of the Navagraha. Sun is the soul. Moon is the mind. Mars is the ego or ahankara. Mercury is the buddhi or intellect. Jupiter is wisdom. Venus is enlightenment, in the light of which mind is lifted up. Saturn is the annihilation of the mind. And Rahu and Ketu are the ascending and descending moods of man, which guide him through the path to true moksha, true liberation. The Navagrahas are a symbol of the macrocosm. And it's the common belief among Hindus that these nine planets give misery to man, but actually these nine planets suffered, and when they prayed to the Lord, that is how they found their deliverance. So it is believed that once you pray to the Navagrahas, you offer worship, you will be relieved of your sins and your miseries, just like the Navagrahas. And but Bhagwan has mentioned that when his anugraha is there, his grace is there, Navagrahas cannot do anything. But when we are on the path in the spiritual journey, we need to do these rituals till we become truly spiritual. Rituals are the way to becoming spiritual. So that is how the Navagrahas are installed there. You also have Sri Chakra. And Sri Chakra is considered as this subtle form of Devi. We are now celebrating Dasara. Sri Chakra is this symbolic form of the mother principle of the cosmos. It has nine primary triangles and four are pointing upwards and five are pointing downwards. There are nine major triangles which form 43 minor triangles. In the center of this is the dot which is called Bindu. And it is at the Bindu where Sri Devi or the mother principle is seated, and that is called the Sahasradalam. That is a supercharged place of the Sri Chakra. Our physical body itself is constructed in the pattern of Sri Chakra. What is in the body is projected in the Sri Chakra. These are all mystical symbols, but they are all emblematic representations of the macrocosm. The Sri Chakra is drawn on copper, silver, gold or five metal plate or on spatika and worshipped. It is also drawn on silk cloth. And when the Sri Chakra is formed in three dimensions, then that is when it's called Meru. So the worship of Sri Chakra gives, at the spiritual level, spiritual knowledge. One becomes one with the Lord when you worship the Sri Chakra. At the material level, it gives prosperity and health. For the sadhakas, Sri Chakra blesses one with divine energy to progress on the sadhana. So during the Ashtabandhanam Prana Pratistha ceremonies, you know, ceremonies where Bhagwan infuses life and power into these idols, Swami has manifested three types of chakras, and one of them is the Sudarshana Chakra. Now, the Sri Chakra of Lord Vishnu is called Sudarshana Chakra. Sudarshan means divine darshan. So it is the discus or this revolving wheel that Vishnu carries always, with which he destroys the enemies of goodness. So Swami manifested Sudarshana Chakra and kept it installed below the idol of Lord Shirdi Sai at the Gindi Mandir. The Sudarshana Chakra was on one side. On the other side, it had the image of Satya Sai. That is what was engraved on one side of the Sudarshana Chakra. And when Bhagwan performed the Ashtabandhanam or the recharging of the shrine on 20th Jan 1984, Swami created the Sudarshana Chakra, and Swami said, anybody who worships here will be free of enemies, internal and external. And there are so many instances of people who have been cured of grave tragedies in their life through the worship of the Sudarshana Chakra. There was this person, Purushottama Naidu, a retired headmaster. He had lost his eldest son 8 years before, in April 1976, 8 years before Swami installed the Sudarshana Chakra, in a car accident, his son had died. His wife was very much attached to the son. The moment this news reached the wife, she was in a trauma. She was so shocked, and she was completely, mentally she went haywire. She ran to Tirumala and she said her son is with Venkateshwara, but once he returned, she was completely mentally deranged. She was missed her son so much that she started abusing and accusing everyone of taking her son away. So the family had to just keep her secluded in a separate room and just give her food. But whole day she would be just crying and weeping and abusing anyone who came within her sight. And Purushottama Naidu didn't know what to do. After Bhagwan installed the Sudarshana Chakra there in that mandir, he used to go every day to Gindi and he used to chant the Sudarshana Mantra. And one day when he was coming back after his puja, suddenly his wife called him and he said, why are you bringing Lord Narayana's chakra with you from the Gindi temple and sending it to me? Why are you sending the Sudarshana Chakra to me? And Purushottama Naidu was shocked. He didn't know what was happening. And she started saying this day after day, why are you bringing Sudarshana Chakra from the mandir every day? And even as this was going on, day after day, suddenly she started returning to normalcy. The Sudarshana Chakra, the prayers that Purushottama Naidu was offering at the Sudarshana Chakra, below the Shirdi Sai Shrine at the Gindi Temple, and chanting the Sudarshana Mantra and this Yantra and this Chakra, were removing all the negativity from the mind of his wife. And eventually she became completely normal and she started leading a life of a devout disciple of the Lord. So that is how the Sudarshana Chakra has benefited people. There are so many such stories of people who have found solutions to incurable problems through their worship at the Gindi temple, a temple that Swami has surcharged it with so much of energy, his power and his benediction, month after month, year after year, since 1949. In fact, when Bhagwan visited this temple in 1970, Swami spoke to a large gathering of devotees there and Swami said, this is a temple where I have installed 21 years ago the idol of my Shirdi form. So this happened in 1970. And Swami said, the word Vishnu is used for God. It means He is present everywhere at all times. When people are told about an idol of God, you know, they laugh and condemn it as a foolish superstition. But Swami said, when you want to drink the amrita, ambrosia, that is God, don't you need a spoon? When you want to drink the amrita, you need a spoon, isn't it? You need a cup, you need a glass. Swami said, this idol is a contrivance, is a medium by which you can consume that bliss. That cup can be of any shape, any size, any design. The God is Rasovesya, God is the divine ambrosia, God is sweet, sustaining, strength-giving. You can imbibe Him through any cup. It can be a cup of Nataraja, it can be cup of Durga, it can be the cup of Krishna, the cup of Ganesha, the cup of Linga, the cup of Christ, the cup of Sai Baba. Swami said, many of you yearn to have a cup like Sai Baba, cup of Shirdi Sai, and that is why I allowed you to have this idol here. This is the Sai form which sat and taught at the Dwarakamai Mosque at Shirdi. So this is how Bhagwan inspired people year after year who came to the temple. Whenever he visited Chennai in those years, 70s and 80s, Swami always visited this temple at Kindi. And Swami not only charged the idol with power, Swami filled the devotees with inspiration to continue on this path of liberation, continue on this path of filling oneself with the sublime feelings of compassion, fill oneself with the supercharging energy of devotion. Because only through devotion, only through bhakti, you can get jnana, you can get mukti. Everything starts with bhakti, and the start of the bhakti movement after the Shirdi Sai left his mortal coil is what happened in the temple of Kindi in 1949. This is just some of the highlights of the Kindi temple. There is so much more. We're going to upload a video on this on our website, as I mentioned before. Please do watch it. And if you are in Chennai, don't miss to visit this temple every Thursday. There are more than 2,000 people every evening on Thursdays to offer their salutations. Let's utilize these beautiful cups that Bhagwan has given us to fill our heart with the ambrosia that is Sai, so that one day we will be so suffused in the bliss of Sai that we will see only Sai when we look, when we open our eyes, and when we close our eyes again, we see only Sai and Sai alone. Dear listeners, it has been really a joy to go to Kindi and see this temple and share with you this story. If you have any experiences of visiting this temple, if you have any stories that you can share which will be inspirational for others, please feel free to write to us. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also, if you can write, you want to write anything personally to me, you can write to Bishu, bishu@radiosai.org. Thank you so much for being with us through this beautiful journey of traversing the glory of Shirdi Sai and Sathya Sai through the glory of the Sai Baba temple at Kindi. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.